Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, it's Sammy.
And Sammy, and welcome to Transform, your safe space to form the best version of you.
There are going to be a lot of laughs, and oh boy, a lot of tears.
But we are so grateful to be alongside you in your journey to transform.
Ooh, here we go.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to today's episode. I could not be more excited to dive in to how to create your dream friendships for 2024 and how to let go of friendships that are not serving you. This is such a subject that I am pumped to talk about because being 29 now, I have gone through so many different types of friendships. I have gone through so many different, I feel like, lives within friends, and friends is kind of a taboo subject where I feel like a lot of people think everyone just makes friends and it's easy, especially as females. So I'm sitting across from my best friend, which is so awesome to be able to say and kind of talk to this subject because it isn't just like a one easy road.
Absolutely. I think, you know, friendship is obviously what like bonds us all together, but it's also not always that easy. And I think we're really excited today to chat through all the beauty that is friendship, but also all the ways that we've learned to navigate it in a way that still honors us, our expectations, our needs, and the excitement of meeting new people. We're both in our late 20s, entering just new chapters of life. I feel like your 20s overall too just brings so many different types of people in. You know, you're not in the same boat as everyone anymore. You're not just friends with someone because they're in your class or they live in your hometown, but you're likely moving to a new place, starting a new phase of life, and growing within that. And I think so much of what we've realized is the more self-growth that we do, the more that we can outgrow our people. And that is such a natural, normal thing that we want to normalize. But so excited to jump in to this conversation. We've prepped so many amazing takeaways for you guys. So as always, get out your pen and paper, just meditate and listen. And we just hope you hear so much that encourages you and leaves you feeling so good about your friends for 2024.
Yes, I could not agree more. I feel like too, there's a lot of, you know, me and my shoulds of the shoulds in the world of how even friendship should go, especially in your 20s when you're growing into who you are, which I know we're going to touch on so deeply today because it's such a big role of who your friends are in your life. And I think for me, someone that's not actually friends with a lot of my childhood friends anymore, as well as I didn't go to college. So I don't have these like day one people. I have like two that I remember from childhood. I mean, not remember, that I still connect with. But I think I talk to friends a lot about how our parents, at least for mine and a couple of parents I'm speaking to, it kind of was this rule of like, you stay friends with your kindergarten best friends that you met till the day you die, which I think is so awesome. Like truly, I'm inspired by that. But I also think we're in a different day and age where we are diving into ourselves so much that if you're feeling like that person who's not friends with the same people 5 years ago or 10 years ago, it's so okay. And we're going to dive into it all today.
I think change can always be scary, especially with friends. But we really urge you in this conversation to not look at change as such a scary thing, but look at it as that growth, which is such an accomplishment and obviously something that we personally feel so passionate about But there was a quote that I wanted to start us off with that I'm sure some of you have heard, but I think just stands to be so true in this conversation of friendships. And that is that people are in your life for a season, a reason, or a lifetime. And I think as soon as we hear that quote, you're going to think of those specific people that served their beautiful season in your life, brought that perfect reason into your life, or have that fluid friendship with you that can truly last a lifetime, and not forcing it. They don't need to fit all three, but truly knowing who these people are in your life and honoring that.
Amen. Hallelujah. Every relationship's on purpose. Come on.
Come on. All right. Should we take it from the top?
Let's do it.
So as we were sharing, I think so much of what we've learned in our own friendships comes from what we've also learned about ourselves and really owning who we authentically are. The only way that you can show up as a good friend and find good friends is if you know and understand your authentic self.
This is so clear to me and to so many, where when you're trying to figure out, especially in your younger 20s, but also, I mean, I think this can be any time in your life, when you're figuring out who you are, you're going to go through different types of friends because you're figuring out who your authentic self is. And in that time, be okay with kind of being curious to, okay, I'm figuring out who I am. So who are the people I do want in my life? But the number one key here, like Sammy just said, is the more that you have the awareness of who your authentic self is, the more you're going to find the best authentic friendships.
Yeah, I truly think back to when I first moved to LA. And Sam, I feel like you have really funny stories here too. But when I first moved to LA, my crew was fun. Like, they loved to party. We all loved to go out. But as I did my work on me and realized, oh, maybe I don't love to drink this much. Maybe I don't like staying out until 4 a.m. and waking up the next day feeling like crap. The people in my life also changed. And that could only happen with the more work that I did on me for me to like fully recognize, okay, this isn't authentic to who I am anymore. And it did serve that season within my life too. And so did those people. But I can no longer stunt my own growth by making them all feel comfortable with me feeling uncomfortable at the same time.
Exactly. And the thing with that is too, is there is absolutely nothing wrong with them wanting to stay exactly how they are. If it is partying more, for that example, because I actually have such a similar situation in my young 20s. You know, I partied so much more in my younger 20s. My interests were so different. And I remember the moment where I was like, ooh, I'm starting to change what I actually want to do and what I like and how I want to spend my time and who I want to be around. And there was truly nothing wrong with these people. They were healthy, happy people, but their interests were just very different than I was looking forward to anymore. So that is the hard change that does come, is there's the healthy relationships and the unhealthy relationships, but the ones that are healthy, that there's nothing wrong with those people. But it's okay to outgrow certain relationships or certain lifestyles that you once lived with certain people. And I remember it so clearly for me of when this clicked, was when what I was talking about with these people were only memories. Like, that was our thing in common, was like, do you remember that one time we went and did this? And it was so fun, but I could tell, this relationship isn't serving me anymore because we don't have common interest or ways that we're lifting each other up, because we're just living in that past lives of ourselves that we were in.
Absolutely. I can totally relate. Gosh, the early 20s really is like such a specific time of your life where, again, it is just so much novelty, so much newness, so many new people. And even just in talking about it right now and reflecting right now, I have one really best friend who has like survived as this like lifetime friend to me. But the rest of my crew that, you know, I definitely was, and something we'll speak to, looking for quantity, not necessarily like quality of depth of the friendships that I now crave, but all of those other amazing people who I used to see so often, exactly what you said. Like, they're still amazing human beings. There's nothing against my growth or their growth or our change of interests. It's just change. It is just us all going down our own paths, and they're not always parallel.
Yes. Change is good. Discomfort is good. I think we'll talk about that almost in every episode, because I think it has a negative feeling to it, but truly all of that discomfort and change that we go through allows us to have our most fullest human experience, and human experience with the people we love, which is our friendships. So like you said, truly understanding quality over quantity. And this is something that I had to realize, because when I especially am just making friends, I had such a moment where I was trying to be best friends with everyone. So I would meet someone that someone was like, you should meet Jessica. I would go meet Jessica. I'm like, okay, they told me I'd really like her, so I need to be best friends with her. And I would do that continuously with everyone I was meeting. I felt this need to have to be friends with everyone, which truly, when I look back, reflects of me missing out on so much of the relationship with myself and needing so much from other people, validation, approvals, which is so fine. But now being in this place of, wow, I love the quality of friendships I have, rather than being friends with a contact list that is endless, and really having those people that serve such specific roles, of having just a handful of best friends, people that I can call to share my heart with, rather than trying to do that with every single person I have met.
Could not relate more. I even think back to when I was like a teenager, and you know, when I would think about how many people I was inviting to my birthday party, that was a huge win because I had all these friends because I love everyone and everyone loves me. And that's just not realistic. We are all individuals with different interests, different histories, different futures that we're all planning for. And just focusing on the quality of your friendships is something that I think in this past year of what I've gone through in my personal life, I've really noticed not only the people who are so there to celebrate my wins that I am so insanely grateful for, but even more importantly, the people who are actually there in my darkest hours, and truly defining them as these darkest hour friends. And the people who show up when I can barely show up for myself. I think we can all think through our friends and know the amazing ones that are always there by our sides to celebrate all the wins. But who do you call when life isn't going right? Those are your quality friends. Those are the people you need to hang on tight to. Those are the friends you need to invest in.
Yes, and invest in. I love that, because those friendships do take time, because they're such a different type of friendship. And I would encourage you, when you're listening to who are you being there for in their darkest hours, but they're not doing the same back. I think I experienced that a lot of giving my whole heart to certain people and truly not seeing it in return. Maybe because they aren't capable, or because who knows, for their specific reasons, but really taking a step back of who am I just giving to those darkest hours, and I'm not receiving it in return, which is such a real thing.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many different types of roles and levels within friendship, and not everyone is a darkest hour friend. One of my best friends, her mom refers to her best friends as her front row. But like, truly think about who's in your front row. Think about when life goes wrong, because shit happens. Shit always happens. But when life goes really wrong and you cannot show up for yourself, who is going to be sitting there in that front row? And then when you feel that love and you receive that love, and then you pour it right back into them, because we all go through it, that to me is the definition of friendship.
Yes. And the friends that aren't the front row don't got to know it. Don't worry.
Yeah.
You don't got to tell them.
No ticket for entry. Truly. You're just not invited anymore. No, it's fine. Just know and like have the expectations within yourself to understand who is actually going to show up in your front row for you when it matters.
Exactly. And when you're in this stage of, say you're listening and you don't have this front row that we're speaking of yet, I'm excited for you, because that means you're diving into yourself, you're learning yourself, your most authentic self, to then find those real, organic, passionate friendships that are going to be so heartfelt and be there for you in all these times that we are saying, which we deserve. And I think one of the key things for you to do is understand what type of friend you want to be as well. So instead of picking out, you know, I want this out of these friends, I want this type of relationship, what kind of friend do you want to be? And write that down, nourish it up. How do you want to feel in these friendships? How do you want them to feel with you being their friend? And one of the cool things that I think I dove into when I was trying to be friends with everyone and then I reeled it back in was also understanding my love language as a friend. I have one of my best friends. She is the best gift giver. Like, she would show up and give me just a random gift on a Thursday. Can you guess who it is?
Liz.
Yeah, Liz is like the most insane gift giver. And I remember when we first started becoming really close, how she showed she loved me was by giving gifts, where mine was more words of affirmation. And I felt so like I had to give a gift back. You know how uncomfortable someone just continuously bringing you gifts and you're like, okay, wow, what do I get you? And I started to, I remember I got her a certain thing and it was really hard for me to do. The moment I realized that gift giving is just not my love language. I don't really know how to do it as well as others. It's not my strong suit, but gosh, my strength is words of affirmation. I could really send you the most truly intentional message that's coming from my straight heart, or a voice memo is like one of my favorite things, or even letters. And once I gave that to her, she was always so grateful and never wanted a gift in return. So I think understanding your love language, understanding your friends are having their own love languages too, and you don't need to have the same to be a good friend.
Absolutely. And even communicating what your love language is. One of my new best friends in Austin, we'll get to this, but I recently, at 28 years old, relocated from Los Angeles to Austin, which has a whole nother type of situation of making new friends. But one of my new very best friends, Taylor, the day after our wedding, literally gave me the nicest gift of like bath bombs and all of take care of yourself goodies. And I was so taken aback. I'm like, this is so kind. I've never really showed up for someone in this moment in this way. But then similar to you, Sam, I know I can share my words of affirmation and my love through my voice in a way that makes my friends feel so seen. Or I can also plan like the most fun weekender for us to all spend so much quality time and use my operation type A skills to make us all feel so loved.
Yes. I think with this too, with understanding the type of friend you want to be, it is then getting clear on what type of friends you do want in your life. I think there are so many different types of relationships and friendships, and you getting really clear of what you feel like would actually be a friendship you'd be so excited about and feel so honored to be next to. And get so clear on that. What type of love languages do they have? What are their interests? What are you feeling when you're around them? Like, truly pour it out. And while you're in this moment of finding these people and connecting with these people, I think a really good radar to understand who is someone I do want to invest in a little bit more and who is someone that I'm not feeling like yet ready to do so is understand who is filling up your cup. This is such a good navigation of when you leave that person, are you feeling lifted, energized, cup is full, excited to see them again, really excited to be a better version of yourself? These are questions to ask yourself once you're leaving certain people. I know for me, if I am with certain people and say that they gossip a lot, you know, you might feel in the midst of it, ooh, this is fun. I'm getting along with all these people. But when you leave, you're kind of feeling like, I'm not feeling better than when I actually arrived. And these are things to keep note of while you're making new friends and finding new friendships.
Such a good point that when you leave a hangout with your friends, you should leave feeling energized, not drained. You should feel confident, not insecure. You should feel seen and loved, not empty. And really taking this time at the top of the year to go through which friends you might already have who so make you feel that energized, excited, loved friend, And don't feel like you need to find 10 more of them. Maybe just invest and pour more into their cup and watch how they pour right back. I think back to the quality over quantity, you really don't need 10 best friends, and it's arguably not realistic. So really figuring out, gosh, who fills my cup? Whose cup do I want to fill? Know those people, keep them tight. That's your front row. And truly, truly, truly just invest so much love and energy into them.
Okay, let's talk about how to navigate change in friendships, kind of what we started with of this whole energy around change and how it can be really uncomfortable and how to actually navigate that, especially while we are all growing up in our 20s, 30s, as we get older.
Yeah, I mean, I think, as we said, change, we just need to look at it as a good thing. And it is such a natural part of growing up. You are not going to be able to keep the same best friends you've had since you're 2 years old. And it's not that these friendships need to come to an end, but I think in life, always coming from a place of love and showing up in your friendships in a realistic way where you're not just keeping people around to make you feel comfortable or maybe to make them feel comfortable. But I think that there are some really specific different buckets of friendships that do require different navigations of change within them. And the first one I would say is truly just a friend in your life who is growing in a different direction than you. It's not wrong. It's just not in parallel path. It's a sign of your own growth. It's a sign of their new chapter. And it just doesn't need to be forced. And in these types of friendships, you can truly create such natural, neutral distance, again, from a place of love. It doesn't mean that this friendship just came to an end. It doesn't mean that it needs to be done and that this bridge is burned. It just means that there has been change and in turn, there's been growth. And yeah, Sam, what you were saying earlier, maybe you feel like this friendship feels so stuck in the past. You don't need to call them out on that. But if you're thinking more in the now and in the future, go there and find your people who get you there. Friendships can fizzle out, so don't force them.
I feel the discomfort in my belly right now thinking about friendships that this did happen with. And especially, say, if you're in the group with everyone and they can tell that you guys are fizzling out and even best friends, or even through social media, people can see, oh, you stopped posting them. Like, you know, we live in such this world where it's pretty clear when this does happen. And I think here it really comes a time for you to not bash or talk badly about this person that you are feeling like you are parting ways, and truly leave it with a place of love. Like, I love that person so much that I actually know I'm doing a disservice for them and myself to just stay in this relationship right now. And I have seen it time and time again where friends that do take time apart actually come back together later on, or they come back as a different type of friendship, maybe more acquaintance type, but it does not have to feel like the end. You have no idea what could happen, but really leaving that relationship of, I'm so grateful for everything that you did serve me, because they did. They brought you so much in your life to get you to where you are at now. So to really lead with love in that, and when you guys venture off, leaving that good taste in each other, in everyone's mouth, in their mouth of like, I only love you, and you know, whatever happens, happens for the future.
I love that. I love that you mentioned it's such a two-way street of, it's not only us feeling it, our friends are likely feeling it too. And you honoring them in that as well, and also not feeling like they need to force it, is such a safe place to be. And just creating that neutral distance, it's so fine. It's not this reactive conversation that we've all seen out of Mean Girls, or maybe think back to in high school where, like, I can't be friends with you anymore. It's not that, and it doesn't need to be. Again, you can come back, work on your friendship later. Timing is everything. I'm sure we can all relate to that in our own lives and especially within our friendships.
Yes. And this comes to number two, the bucket that we put in here with changing of friendships. And that is the friendships that you want to do the work with. I love this one because this is leaning into those friendships that you don't feel like you need to actually distance yourself from because you haven't actually given them the space to understand how you're feeling about the friendship. I can say for me, I am a fleer when things can get really uncomfortable. I'm like, let's not have that hard conversation and I'm just going to go. And that was something that I did a lot when I was younger. And now having those hard conversations, but worth it conversations with those friends where you're like, I love you so much. There has been this, you know, discomfort I'm feeling, or maybe I am feeling not as energized when I do leave you, but I once did. And I don't feel like this relationship is supposed to come to an end yet or ever. So let me share with you how I am feeling about it. And this is huge. This is going to actually break so many walls down for this friendship to grow even deeper. These conversations bring that resilience, bring that love, and bring that appreciation. You're telling that friend, hey, I actually care about you so much that I don't want to leave. I want to share with you that I'm feeling a little neglected, or I'm feeling a little bit like you are, you know, paying attention to other people as much. Is there something that we're, you know, not working well with? Whatever it is, they're probably feeling it too, like Sammy said. So you bringing up that conversation with love, and even starting the conversation with, gosh, I'm a little nervous right now to share this, but it's on my heart. And I really wanted to be serious about it with you because this friendship means a lot to me.
I completely love that you're bringing this up, because when your friends bring up, or if you were going to bring up that you want to do the work to better your friendship, that is because you care. That is a huge compliment of showing that you want to invest more in this friendship and create maybe more boundaries within it, better communication, so that you guys can actually show up for each other in a more loving way. And I'll give a funny example because we're now on the other side, but my very best friend, maid of honor, basically my sister, Sarah, I hope she's listening to this, I'm sure, supportive bestie, but she recently just turned 29 and I literally forgot her birthday. Like, I straight up just did not look at what day of the week it was. Earlier in that week, I'm like, you know how we all do? I'm like, I'm going to post this picture and this will go on my stories and I'm going to send her this. And life happened. I freaking forgot. She literally told me it was her birthday. My heart fell through the floor. I care about birthdays. I know she cares about her birthday. I wanted to honor her birthday. I had every intention to, and I literally forgot. And
What did you do? I have to know, because like that is gut-wrenching to my heart because I've done this as well. What did you do?
I like basically screamed internally. And then, you know, what I really did is I door-dashed a Carvel ice cream cake to her door immediately and had someone deliver a Barefoot Dreams blanket, because I think that's like, if I'm going to go my gift giver route, that is just like the best gift to ever receive. And I sent her a novel. And I think my big learning from this is I did not defend myself. I could have come up with every excuse in the book. I could have said, oh my God, Sarah, you know I love you. This is no reflection of our friendship at all. I just had such a busy work day. I had all of this going on. I did not defend myself. I did not make it about me. I just owned the fact that I fucked up. I literally just said, this is so fucked up of me. I am so sorry. And I think that's also a beautiful moment to recognize that when someone calls you out and wants to do the work with you and are complimenting you and your friendship because they care in that way, don't get defensive. This isn't a battle. This is you guys showing up and being mutually down to communicate through working on something to better your friendship. And even in our recent conversations, I still can't get over the fact that I forgot her birthday. And she was like, I genuinely love you. It's so fine. You did not come at it at a place of, oh, no, I, of course, forgot because I had 10 business meetings that day. You genuinely just made up for it. And we're all human at the end of the day. We all mess up. But I really urge you and everyone else, when it comes to doing the work, take your defense down and just show up with love, as we've been saying, because as soon as we are on the defense, someone else has to be on the offense.
Gosh, you handled that so freaking beautiful. I'm actually so happy you shared that, because I think everyone can feel the scream internally when that happens and the reaction you want to have of just, I don't even know, so I'm going to do 100 million things. In the way that you just owned it is awesome. And the talk of the defense mechanism that we all have. We have all been patterned to put up those boxing gloves when someone tries to call us out. And I feel like I repeat to myself so often with these situations, of put the gloves down, be on offense, come from love. And it allows that person to, not feel, because people can feel when you're defensive and those gloves are up. So again, when you're just endlessly saying, okay, I'm choosing to come from love here, it allowed you to be like, I messed up, Sarah. Like, and Sarah knows your heart. She knows you to her core. Like, so it's such a beautiful thing that you chose to do it that way. You're awesome. Yeah.
I think when you do show up with love too, and your best friends that know you so well, they don't want you to sit in that too long either. It's amazing to just push through it, both learn from it and be better. But I think that the third bucket here is one that we do need to bring up, because we can all likely relate to having the friendships where you're done doing the work. It is just unhealthy. Do I use the word toxic? I think we can in this circumstance, truly just a toxic friendship. It's gone sour. You leave, you feel drained. You are not your best self in this friendship, and neither is your friend.
Yeah, this is a hard one for sure. This is one that I think will create a lot of discomfort, because that means that this friend will actually be removed from your life. And that's really hard, because this friend has probably been with you through a lot of different times, and it is going to feel like a breakup, or it is going to feel really uncomfortable and sad and all these different emotions. But you know deep down what friendship is an unhealthy one, and one that isn't actually allowing you to grow into your best self.
At the end of the day, you'll always hear us say communication is everything. And this is really, really challenging communication, but honestly, arguably like biggest form of self-love, of honoring your own needs and communicating them. And just knowing that, as we said at the top of this podcast, every person has a season, a reason, or a lifetime within your story. So stop forcing it.
Yes.
If the friendship is not working on both sides, and I think this can go to relationships too, it's going to weigh on you to communicate your needs. But I know, once you share your needs and you honor yourself, the weight will be lifted.
Yes. I have to say this analogy, even though I know we'll probably say it later, but the renting space analogy just fits so perfectly here. Within dating, within friendships, within all of your relationships in life, I like to look at my body as a house, and I look at who is renting space in my house. There's only a certain amount of room in my house. And if someone is taking up space by renting from me, and it's draining, it's complicated, it's not feeling good as a renter, and I am over it, they're at the end of the day taking up that space for someone else to come in and actually fill it up and be joyful and be amazing and all the things I want. So when you do reflect and look at all these relationships in your life, who is renting space that shouldn't be anymore?
I love that analogy. I think I urge everyone to kind of think through who's renting space in their own house and who really deserves to be there, who wants to be there.
The lease is over.
You want there? The lease is done. The lease is freaking up. Kick them out.
The lease is up. Kick them out. It's done. Gosh, I feel like this also makes me think about, I think for me in this past year, spending so much time by myself was a really uncomfortable thing as I was going through so much change and transitions. And I think this goes back to the seasons moment and goes back to it feeling maybe negative or uncomfortable or icky if you feel like, wow, I don't really have a lot of people around me right now. And I am in a season of just being with myself, or just being with my partner, or just being with my family, whatever it is. And honoring that is a season that actually is really important. That friendships are the best gift. They are amazing. We are not supposed to do this world alone. At the same time, to only have those great, amazing friendships, we need to feel good in our own body. We need to feel good with ourselves. We need to spend time with ourselves. And this solitude is a good thing. So if you're feeling judgmental on yourself, or people are like, gosh, you're spending so much time alone, I have heard that so much. Truly asking for space from friends that are incredible friends, but saying, I really need this time by myself. And people being like, is she good? Is she okay over there? And I'm like,
I love that.
Really, honestly. And I know they're thinking it. And I have to, I truly tell them, like, The craziest part is I am so good. This is just a time that myself is calling for the friendship within me, and I need to honor that.
I mean, it is such an accomplishment and something you should feel so proud of, because I think 99.9% of the time, the reason that we keep a lot of the friends and the people we have in our lives around is because we don't want to be alone. We don't want that solitude. We are scared of that independence. We don't want that stillness. So the fact that you've done the work to get to a place where you prefer it based on some other people that you've had in your life, and now you recognize who your amazing friends are and you know the value that they bring when you are with them, but you know that if it's not your amazing friends, that you'd rather just be alone than be with the ones who have once made you feel drained. That is such a gift.
I think about so many amazing people in my life. A lot of them have spent time alone and they come back as someone I look up to, someone I'm inspired by. And that is because, like anything we want in life, they've done the work to understand themselves, be aware of themselves, love themselves, that they're showing up as an incredible friend. So yeah, really looking at it as actually such a gift that yourself is calling you to that, because it wants more for you. It wants you to lean into the discomfort so that you can find these friendships and honestly not really waste your time on the ones that aren't deserving your time and energy. So let's talk our next subject of how to make your dream new friends.
I love this topic. Making friends is honestly so fun. Being social for some of us can be so fun, but it can also be really overwhelming and intimidating. And I just want to let everyone know that we get it. Like, it takes time. I mentioned earlier, like, we are both in our late 20s and I am still making best friends. It takes time to find your people, but we've kind of come up with some ways that we think are the easiest paths to finding your people. So we're really excited to dive in here.
Yes. So with finding new friends, I think the best thing to think about is an easy way you get along with people is when you have similar interests. It's just natural. You know, you love, we'll talk about, you know, working out, because obviously Sammy and I are connected on our health and wellness journey. So truly writing down or thinking of your interests and then finding ways you can join a community, join a club, or even just be in an environment where those like-minded people are. I asked literally JT's little brother, who started high school at a new school, and starting high school at a new school is very uncomfortable. He moved from Texas to Arizona. And I said to him, I said, you have so many new friends already. Like, how do you have so many new friends? And he's 15 and he's like, well, I just talk to them about things that I know and I know that they know. And I was like, well, what do they know? And he's like, motorcycles. Like, we love motorcycles. And I'm like, that is such a like clear, easy answer of he found something that he knew that they liked. He also was interested in it. And he's like, bam, we can just talk about that. I'm going to tell them how knowledgeable I am in that area. And we became friends. And I think obviously it's not that easy, but it can also be easier to make friends when you have something to talk about. And so ways that we find to make new friends in new areas is by joining a community that has like-minded people. So for instance, Forum has these walks. So we have community walks where truly hundreds and hundreds of girls just meet on the boardwalk and we all walk together. And when I tell you 90% of the girls show up solo, truly by themselves, and are saying, I'm here to just make new friends. I just moved here, or I just actually am new in the wellness space. I'm really interested in it. And girls leave with best friends because everyone showed up there open and excited to do the same. So you're in a space where it's safe because people are wanting to do the same thing. So that is such a cool area to do it. And I know, Sammy, you've experienced that moving to Austin and literally going on a walk and some of your friends are now from the walk.
Literally, the walks are the best. And I mean, I know there's run clubs too. I'm not a runner. Maybe one day I envy runners, but I love a big walk. So the fact that we do it within Form and the fact that I was able to take our Form walks and host them in Austin truly gave me so many of my initial best friends in Austin. I think another really great way to meet new people, and again, moved from Los Angeles to Austin in my late 20s and knew like three people, literally three people, but using those three people as my anchors within Austin or whatever your new city may be, and finding friends of friends. And I think, as Sammy so perfectly said, when you are open to receive new friendships, people show up. They want friends too. We all want a community. We all dream of this loving friend group. So I straight up asked all my friends that I knew, hey, I'm looking to meet new people. If you want to set up a lunch or a dinner or a walk or whatever it is, I would be so, so, so grateful. And every single time I said it, they're like, yeah, I know 10 girls that you'd be best friends with. And, you know, you don't have to be best friends with all of them. But when you meet them and you already kind of have that mutual best friend, it is so easy. So set up these friendship dates. You'll love them. I think another big one for me in moving to Austin was social media. And this is at a point where truly, like, I was not using social media in Los Angeles at a place to like make friends. Like, I would never post when I was living in LA saying, hey, like, I'm going to host a walk if anyone wants to show up. Like, that honestly would give me chills of nervousness. And moving to Austin, I was just definitely more bold and way more intentional about wanting to build my community. So I went to social media and just shared, yes, I'm hosting this form walk, but also just like down to hang, like, let me know if you want to do a coffee. And something as simple as an Instagram story was literally permission for people to just say yes. And as soon as you ask, people deliver. So as soon as I turned to social media, I found this really inclusive, loving, welcoming, warm, honestly, hug of an invite within Austin to all these coffee dates, to all these dinners, learning about the new city through my new friends who had already lived there. And you will never know until you ask. So I really do urge people to use social media, and don't be afraid to slide in someone's DMs either. Maybe you have like three mutual followers on Instagram or whatever it may be. Use that as a tool to get to know each other. And that could easily be one of your new best friends. One of my actual, like, now sisters, basically, in Austin, Lauren, obviously now that we're best friends, I know her personality so well. And she would never really come across as the girl to just slide in someone's DMs, but she slid in mine. And she's actually a part of our form community. And she sent me a DM saying, hey, my husband and I just moved here. I saw you and your husband just moved here too. We should do dinner, with all of these smiley face emojis, which is so funny now because she like is just not even an emoji girl. And we plan this double date. We show up. Granted, find out that our husbands had met each other in LA through the entertainment scene. We became best friends that night. She is now also best friends with one of my only friends in Austin when I moved, Nikki. And we have this whole friend group now that we're all a part of just because Lauren was brave enough to send me this DM that was so out of her comfort zone. But definitely recommend social media to make new friends.
I used to think it felt really weird, or like, I can't comment on her photo. I don't even know her. Like, that's how I felt. So like probably 5 years ago doing that. But every time I got a comment or a DM of a girl, even just starting out, and we call this is our next one, girl flirting. And I love it because I have been flirted with so much, and I've now flirted with so many girls where I just comment, I really love your skirt, or, oh my gosh, your hair looks amazing. Or even go as far as sending a DM of like, where did you get that sweater? I'm obsessed with it. And that starts a conversation as well. Or, oh my gosh, I love, what's your coffee order there? Like, this is not weird. We are in 2024 now where this is the norm. This is how I met literally JT, was through Instagram as well. So it is just how we have these relationships, and to lean into it because everyone wants the same in return. So, you know, if we want to even start small of being like, okay, I'm going to send 1 to 3 comments a week, and with girls that I feel like I think I could be really friends with her, I love her interest, and lean into that because you're going to be so excited when you are getting those comments back and those DMs back. And the guarantee when you talk to the girls, she's going to be like, I was thinking the same thing, but I was so scared. The amount of times that has happened to me. I mean, I think about all my best friends, even now in LA, like, they are all through social media, every single one. So it is just so in our world. And I think too, if you're like, okay, I don't really post a lot on socials myself though, what do I do? I think this is another place for you to find common interests, where you could find book clubs, or you could find, you know, pages that post volunteer work, whatever you're interested in, again, and then just going and commenting on those types of pages. You don't have to be posting on your own to actually interact on social media. It's just finding those common interests.
100%. Girl flirting is the best. We are here to flirt. We are girls, girls. We are here to hype each other up. And I even think doing it in person too, like totally show up in people's DMs and comments and make them feel their best selves. But also if you see it in real life, say it. I love their sweater. I love their shoes. I am obsessed with their golden doodle. Like, I'm going to pet your dog. And what's your name? Truly anything in life that allows me to girl flirt, I'm here for. I'm here yes. for. So if you see it, say it, find your girlies, hype them up and keep them close.
Yes. And give that challenge. Like we said, if it's one comment a day when you're out and you comment one person, because again, my introvert girlies, I get it. Like, I would call myself actually really introverted when I go to events or when I go to things. I am not the girl who goes up and starts a conversation. I have to actually say to myself, okay, I'm going to challenge myself when I go to this social thing that I'm going to start one conversation with someone and I'm going to start it. And I think giving yourself that challenge or that exercise to do every single day or a couple times a week, you'll start to get more comfortable with it, because you're going to start to see that it isn't weird. And people, every girl loves a compliment. When a girl compliments my nails, I'm like, thank you, because I hated getting them done. So I appreciate you pointing them out.
It Can is we just normalize like, that we don't like getting our nails done? Like, the act of getting your nails done sucks, but we love having cute nails.
But a compliment truly is one of the easiest ways. So challenge yourself, for my introvert girlies. Just try it out. Challenge yourself once or twice a day to give that compliment. Send that DM, whatever feels comfy for you.
I love that advice. I think even within our careers and showing up to networking events where you can also meet a lot of friends. I know in my life, I'm not even necessarily considering myself on the introverted scale, but I just hate small talk. Like, I truly am just like, no, tell me your deepest, darkest fears and what gets you excited. Like, that is my pickup line for my girl flirting. But even going into a setting where, like, I know I don't want to just talk about the weather, give yourself that goal of, I want to leave here with two connections. It just needs to be two people. Let's just deeply connect with two people versus running around the room and making sure everyone knows your name. Don't intimidate yourself with those types of goals. Truly lean in, meet two people, deeply connect with them. Obviously, you don't need to lead with my pickup line of what are your deepest, darkest fears, but find a way to get to know them in a way that is so much beyond their name, where they're from, and what the weather's like outside.
Yes, I'm so the same one. I want to talk about all the deep stuff, but I think this also brings up distinguishing when you do start making these friends, who you actually start to share this real information with. You know, when you're sharing your vulnerable heart and soul and you do it with someone that actually didn't feel safe with, ooh, it can feel really uncomfortable. So I feel like I want to talk about just distinguishing different roles in your life of these friends. Again, not that they have to know specifically what their role is, but for you to have full clarity of, okay, this is my friend that I feel so safe with and I can call her for anything. I can share my heart and she's so open, non-judgmental, and safe for me. Here's my other friend who I absolutely love. She's super fun. She's really great. She gives me a lot of energy and I have a lot of fun with her. But I really don't want to lean into that relationship on a deeper level. I'd rather have her as that role where if I want to have a good time, I'm calling her. And really understanding that that's okay to have those different roles. Again, it's back to not everyone needs to be your best friend or that same role in your life. And it'll allow you to also, when you show up in these environments, you are like not expecting more from those certain people because you already know those roles that they are in your life.
I think we need to normalize that, again, not everyone needs to be your best friend. Not everyone's going to be able to show up in your darkest hours, but put them in a place where you both can thrive. And I think we can all also relate to having best friends and then you try being roommates and all shit falls through the floor because it's just not working. Or you're best friends with this person, then you plan your first trip together and you're like, oh, wow, like we travel really differently. And even the people where you're like, wow, I really love all of us in a group hang, but like we don't need to go on one-on-one deep life chats as much as maybe some other people in your life. So really understand that there are so many levels to the friends in our lives and the roles that they can play, and show up within a way that not only honors them, but also is where you kind of want them in your own life. I don't think this needs to necessarily be communicated, but I think just being aware that not everyone needs to be your best friend, and normalizing the fact that, yeah, not everyone's going to be your soul sister forever and always. There's a season, a reason, or a lifetime, and just let people thrive within where they belong.
Yes. I think this also comes to when you do start making these friends, the importance of the balance between yourself and the other relationships you have in your life. I definitely am a girl's girl. So my girlfriends, you know, I would drop absolutely anything for them. And I know this about myself since I was absolutely young. I remember in high school when my girlfriends would get boyfriends, because I didn't really dig the boyfriend scene in high school. I was like, I just want to hang with my girls, have the best time. And they would get a boyfriend, I'd be like, really upset. Like, truly, I'd be like, why? I'm losing her. And now being an adult, I do love my girlfriend so much, but I'm in a romantic relationship as well. I have the relationship with myself, and really finding the balance of, I think there can be a lot of expectations of friendships needing a lot from you when we're adults now. You know, we have work, life, careers, balance of romantic relationships, family. Like, there's so many more circumstances. So I think finding that beautiful balance and setting the expectations of, listen, this is the kind of friend I am. This is the life that I live, and you fit so beautifully in it, and I would drop anything for you, but I'm not on your, you know, beck and call like I was when we were 16.
This is so real, and all comes down to just being intentional with our time. And I mean, literally at this point in my life, having a husband, running a company alongside you, having a house to manage, having my family to care for, and then also having all of these best friends that I want to pour into. My best friends know what I have on my plate, and they don't expect me to always be able to show up when they understand the balance of everything else I have going on. And I think for me, that is such a gift of love, in that when someone invites me to something at 3 p.m. on a Wednesday, I can't be there, unfortunately, but also fortunately, because I love what I get to do at 3 p.m. on a Wednesday, which is form. And that two-way street of them understanding me, but me also knowing that I want to set that intentional girl time. So I'm not going to be there at 3 p.m. on the Wednesday, to use the same analogy, but I am the girl that's going to set the girl time for all day Saturday, and really welcoming that in. And again, just being so intentional about it and figuring out that balance, because it is so important. And I also want to share that I've actually found a lot of beauty of not keeping my husband and all of my friendships so separate. I think once you do blend in this balance of the intention around everyone just spending that time, of course, like, having girl time is so important, but don't treat it as this black and white dichotomy of, okay, I'm either with my husband or I'm with my girls. Some of my best girlfriends have their own amazing friendship with Andrew, and I love it so much. I also love my friendship that I have with so many of his friends. So don't feel like, if you have the significant other, that they need to also stay separate from all your friends. There's a really beautiful mix of what happens when you blend all them together too.
Okay, I got to ask you this question. What is your friendship red flag? If you had to pick one, like, what is, you're like, I mean, cannot stand that.
I know it in my core. I know my friendship red flag in my core, like, so immediately. And it is when people cancel really last minute and show up really late. I think, again, like, we are all balancing so many aspects of our lives, and there's such an understanding around that with all of my best friends. But I think all my best friends also know that, like, if it's not on my list, it doesn't exist. If we have plans, it is literally on my Google Calendar, and I understand shit happens, but I'm such a big fan of communication. So yeah, canceling plans for me super last minute, I'm just like, all right, come on.
I get you. When your time is so precious, I heard someone on a podcast the other day saying, live your life, and this is aggressive, but live your life like you already have kids, and it helps you with that time management and prioritize, actually, you know, your life in general. And I love that, because I do think it allows you to prioritize what actually is important, and your time is so important. So I so agree with that one. Okay. Mine, I feel like to my core as well, is friendships not understanding no, like the word no, and having expectations or pressures to either be something or be somewhere that I don't want to be or I can't be. And I think for an example is, say a friend is having a birthday party and I know to my core that I actually need to spend time with myself, spend time in my relationship. I need to nurture something else that really is craving my time. And, you know, let's say a birthday party of someone that's like not the most, my best friend in life. And if they have crazy expectations on me of like, I cannot believe you're doing this. How could you not show up to this? You know, whatever it is. And they don't understand that I actually wouldn't be good if I showed up in that space and they're taking it insanely personal. I feel like that just is a pressure that I don't like because I would never do anything or not go to something if I did not feel like it wasn't to my core, not meant to be. And I will always check in with myself on that. So friends that don't understand that and don't understand your alignment with yourself and wanting to protect your peace at the end of the day, which in the end protects their peace, is such a red flag for me. And yeah, I've encountered.
It's almost like they are like forcing you to be a people pleaser, which is something that we are both always working on. But yeah, when you share and communicate that you need time, that you need to just prioritize you with all that we have going on, and someone doesn't hear that loud and clear, red flag.
Red flag.
Freaking flag. See ya.
Bye. Okay, let's wrap up this bad boy. I hope you guys truly enjoyed this. I feel like let's just touch on the main points. Friendship at the end of the day, y'all, is not something that's just a parallel you can talk about. It is windy, it is mountainy, it is all the above. But I feel like the biggest point that I do want to say when we talk about friendships is the awareness of yourself and connecting to your authentic self to have the relationships and friendships of your dreams. I heard this moment where they said, your awareness to yourself is your golden ticket. And I could not agree to that more. The more that we are in tuned with ourselves and our authentic selves, we're just going to cut the time of having a lot of relationships that don't actually align up with who we want to be friends with, who actually deserves our time, vice versa. So really pour into that time of getting to know you, connecting with you, writing out how you want to be a friend before you even start the journey of where my friend's at.
Yes. I mean, at the end of the day, friendship is literally two human beings just showing up and trying to be their best self. And of course, that's going to be complex, but if you're listening to this and you look at 2024 as such an opportunity to create your dream best friends, I hope we gave you a little something that can inspire you to understand that you are so deserving of the friendships that you want to have in this life. And they're on their way. And we cannot wait to hear of all the friends you make. And when you're sledding in all the girlies DM, girl flirt and let
go
us know.
Girl flirt. Go girl flirt. That's like, I love that. Girl flirting. It's the new thing and it's awesome.
It's so good. All right, guys. We'll see you at the next one.
Love you. Thank you so much for being here. You listening to this episode is you saying yes to creating the dream life you absolutely deserve.
As always, we want to hear from you all about what you want to hear next. Definitely let us know on Instagram at Sammy Clark and at Sammy Spalter. And if you want to follow us for more updates, follow at Transform. See you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.